Well, I've been looking forward to sharing God's word with you guys today. We started off this year talking about the theme of kingdom prosperity and how God's will is for us to prosper. And I'm going to shift gears a little bit. I kind of had in my mind how the next couple months would lay out and what I would speak about. And I would thought, you know, in my mind that we would get this more practical matters of finances and giving. But the Lord's kind of turned direction on me a little bit. But it's neat how it all ties in and it all relates. And we'll talk a little bit about that toward the end of my talk here today. But I felt the Lord asking me just to share something that is foundational, some truths that it's really important, I believe, for us to understand as believers. You know, the doctrine of salvation, the revelation that we are saved through faith in Jesus Christ, and it's His saving grace that gives us life. That is the most important truth to us as believers. But what we're going to start to talk about this morning, and what I'm going to believe for God's grace to start to lay the foundation on this morning, are two things that I believe are absolutely essential for us to have a revelation on as believers. And I'm going to talk about the curse and the blessing. The curse and the blessing. And these two things, and a revelation of the curse, might sound strange to hear that, but a revelation of the curse and a revelation of the blessing, I believe, apart from salvation, are two of the very most important things that we need to understand and recognize how they apply to our lives as believers. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. And, I wasn't sure how it would go as I was laying it all out. I knew that there's no way we're going to get to all this in 1 week or even 2 weeks. Perhaps over the next 3 weeks, it'll be more well-rounded, and there'll be kind of a picture for us to look at. And so today is foundational, and we're just kind of laying the groundwork. But it's important for us to have an understanding, because each person in this room has had their lives affected by the curse. The curse holds you back. It limits you. It keeps you from being everything that God's called you to be in your life. It can steal your peace and your joy. It can make you feel powerless. The blessing is the complete opposite of the curse. What the testimonies that you heard here this morning, those are testimonies of the blessing. So the blessing promotes you. It moves you into a new place. It takes you to a higher level. It brings health and healing and wholeness into your life. And the blessing gives you everything in your life that God has called you to do. It can give you a life better than you've ever dreamed. That is the blessing. But we have the curse and the blessing. Some of you probably aren't totally sure what I'm talking about when I say the curse and the blessing. The reason I know that is because when I came to Solid Rock Church in 2011, the first person I ever heard talking about the blessing was Sandra Cook. And the first time she was talking about the blessing, I was like, what is she talking about? You know, and I thought, like, the blessing of what? Like, the blessing of who? But it wasn't the blessing of anything. It was just the blessing. And I was like, I have to get into this. So I started Googling. And of course, I started listening to some teaching. And at that time, Doug was doing Bible studies in our church, and so I very quickly learned what Sandra was talking about when she was talking about the blessing, and that was a revelation for me. And you know, I had known about some of the things that the blessing involved, but I didn't really realize it had a name, and I didn't really realize the full implications of it. And of course, along with the blessing, is that there you need to learn about the curse and understand what the curse is all about. And the thing with the curse is, sometimes we're affected by the curse in our lives, and we don't even know. We don't know that we're under the influence of the curse. If I was to ask, I'm taking a risk by doing this, but let's say I was to ask Ryan, would you give me your permission to put some curses on your life? What would you say, Ryan? He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't accept it, right? And I think if I was to ask anyone in this room that same question, you'd be like, no, you do not have my permission to put some curses on my life. But God's word says is that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And what happens sometimes through our lack of knowledge is we let the curse hang around in our life. We let the curse be activated in our life, and it's our lack of knowledge that gives it permission. It's our lack of knowledge about God's word and about the victory that He has won for us. And through that lack of knowledge, we almost inadvertently or unawares give the curse to have permission in our lives to bring destruction and bad things into our lives. And so we need to know about the curse. We need to know the implications of the curse. But even more importantly than the curse, we need to know about the blessing and everything that the blessing has for us. The blessing has the power to bring us fullness and wholeness in life that we could have only have dreamed of. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the blessing and the curse. And I think this is so important because there are some believers, people who love Jesus, who live their whole lives, and I could say, what do you know about the curse? What do you understand about the curse? And they would look at you sideways like, what curse? Right? Or you could ask them about the blessing. Like, what do you mean by the blessing? And they would just have no idea. And if we don't know and we don't understand what God's done for us, what He's redeemed us from, what He's brought us out of, then there's potential that we'll stay in that place and we won't receive the fullness of the blessing that He's called for us. So I just encourage you this morning, have an ear to hear. I'm asking you, really, really press in this morning and believe with me that God will show us some things from His Word, that He'll lay some foundation in our lives, some track in our spiritual lives that we'll be able to move forward on into some new things and some new revelations. So let's just pray right now and invite God's presence here. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the exciting truths of Your Word. We thank You that Your Word brings freedom into our lives. And so as we talk this morning about the blessing and about the curse, Lord, we declare that we have ears to hear, Lord, that we have spiritual revelation, Lord, that You reveal to us truths that will change our lives forever, that they will lay the foundation for the victory that You desire for each of us. So we declare it, Lord, in faith, Lord, and I ask for Your anointing on my life and on my mouth as I share these words this morning, Lord, that You would give me the words to speak, Lord, that will bring life to all those that hear it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Here's the thing. We can't study the curse without talking about the blessing, because the two go hand in hand. And the curse is actually just the opposite of the blessing. It's the opposite. It's the same power working in the opposite direction. And so we're actually not going to start talking about the curse, but we're going to start talking about blessing, because the blessing was around before the curse ever manifested. The blessing came first. And we have to go back, really, to the start of creation, the beginning of our world, to start learning about the blessing. Before mankind was created, there was an angel named Lucifer. He was of the cherubim class, and we're not going to go through a lot of scriptures that talk about this, but he was the highest rank of angel, and he ministered before the throne of God. Lucifer decided that he wanted to take on all the glory and power of God. He decided that he wanted God's glory, God's majesty, God's power for himself. Isaiah 14:12 says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." That last verse holds the key. What Lucifer said in his heart is, I'm going to elevate myself. I will be like the Most High. He desired to be exactly like God. I will be like the Most High. Before we go any further, I want to say that the study of creation and the fall, this is a deep subject. And you can go a long way with this. We're going to keep it pretty simple and pretty streamlined. There are different schools of thought as to when Lucifer actually fell. Did he fall before the creation of earth? Did he fall before the creation of mankind? Some people believe that. Others believe that the earth was created, mankind was created, and then Lucifer fell because of some scriptures in Ezekiel. For our purposes, honestly, guys, it doesn't matter. There was an angel named Lucifer, and he fell. Okay? He desired to be like God, and of course, we're just going to stick with what we know from Scripture, that there's absolutely no two ways about it, because when we're learning about the curse and learning about the blessing, some of these fine details about was there two gardens of Eden, and it doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is that the account of Genesis, it spanned quite potentially a long period of time, and we aren't given the whole story. But what we are given is the part of the story that we need to know. So I believe that probably Lucifer fell in between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. And I personally, it's just my personal belief, I'm not going to say this is doctrine, I personally believe that he fell before the creation of mankind. Okay? And so for our purposes, we will roll with that. What happened is Lucifer persuaded 1/3 of all the angels to join him in his rebellion. So they rebelled against God. There was a war in the heavens. Lucifer and his 1/3 were defeated, and they were cast down from the heavens onto the earth. They were cast out of heaven. And what happened? Lucifer, whose name means angel of light, became the prince of darkness. He became a twisted version of himself. And so he didn't have even the authority and the glory that he had in the heavens. He no longer had that. All he had was control over an army of demons, those angels that fell with him. And so that, you know, his plan didn't work. He desired in his heart to raise himself and be like God. Instead, he was defeated and cast down. How much that must have hurt God. You know, the scripture doesn't talk about this, but I'm thinking that how hurtful that must have been to the Lord, this beautiful creature that he had created that led the praises at the throne of God, rebelled against him, and was cast down. God's desire, I believe, is always to be good, to extend blessing, to spend hope, to express abundance. It's just in his nature to be kind and loving. And Brother Copeland actually made this point. I was reading an article this week, and he said that the Lord revealed to him, and I believe this is, I mean, this to me, this really witnessed that before sin entered creation, before sin existed, that the Lord never had a serious thought. There was no reason to, because he's just goodness, and everything around him was surrounded with goodness and glory. And so the Lord never, there was no need for even a serious thought. But when sin entered and rebellion took place, now this is a serious matter. And now hurt entered creation. What happened is God, the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, got together after the fall, and they said, you know what? We are going to make man in our own image. We are going to create a race of people that we can bestow our love and our affection and our goodness and our glory upon. And so that the verse that we're going to read now is in Genesis chapter 1, we're going to read 26 to 28. Genesis 1, 26 to 28. And this is when the plan comes together. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals of the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Do you guys remember the last thing that Lucifer said? Is, I will be like the Most High. He was not created in the image of God. What is, at the point of creation, what is the thing that keeps on coming back to us again and again in these verses? So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. That's interesting. Set that off to the side. It's going to be important for what we're talking about this morning. But human beings were created to be part of God's family. We were created in God's image. We were designed to be just like him. This is a little bit of a bunny trail, but I felt the Lord wanted me to share this morning. I believe that God desired family. God wanted family. And so the Godhead got together and said, you know what, we are going to create a race of beings, a race of creatures that are family to us, that are just like us. He didn't want to create a creature that was obligated to serve him, that was basically just a mindless robot, that would function some role of worship where it really didn't have a choice. But the Godhead, God desired to create a race of beings that loved him and served him freely out of their own will, that they would make the choice to serve him. And Dane's not here, but I'm glad he shared what he shared this morning about offering in his offering message, because it really ties in with what the Lord showed me, that God desired to create a race of sons and daughters who, out of their own free will, would choose to recognize that they are part of God's family. Free will, that they make the free choice and they would recognize that God desired a family, and so he made human beings to be part of his family. That was always the desire. And not just that he made human beings, but that he created the blessing, and the blessing was the environment that he wanted those humans to live in. The blessing was the environment that he wanted his sons and daughters to live in. And so when he gave this declaration or this blessing over the human race in Genesis 1:28, then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign over creation." That was God's first declaration of the blessing. He's saying, "I've created you, fill the earth, you're my family, reign over it, govern it. I want you to operate in the blessing." 2 Corinthians 6 says in verse 16, "As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Do you hear the heart of God the Father here? He just wants fellowship. He's looking for family. He says, "I will live in them. I will walk among them. I will be your father, and you will be my sons and my daughters." And there's a revelation of family here that I believe it's important for us to capture. God is a spirit being. He made us who are also spirit beings, but we have a physical expression. We have a body. We have a soul. We have a mind and a will and emotions. And God, who's a spirit being, sees us spirit beings who he's given his spirit to, but he's also given us a physical body. He sees us as family. If the devil has ever whispered to you, you don't have a family, or your family doesn't care for you, or you don't fit in your family, that is an absolute bold-faced lie from the pit of hell. Because if God considers you his family, how much more to those of us who are gathered in this place, how much more should we be family to each other? Amen? Isn't that an awesome revelation that I believe, you know, like the parents we have or the children that have been given to us or the extended family that we might have, that's our biological family. I believe in the spiritual realm that the spiritual family, the people that God has joined you with spiritually, is at a higher level of family than your biological family. It's a whole another class of family. And so don't ever, ever again see yourself as someone who's not a part of a family. But you have been chosen. You belong. God has given you a family. It's the people to your left and the people to your right, the people in front of you and the people behind you. When you're here with God's people, when you come into the kingdom, you have a family and you are family. Amen? And for some reason, the Lord just stirred that so strong in my spirit this week. It's not really where we're going, but it's important to see that God created family. I believe that his whole purpose in creating the human race was to create family, people who would walk under the blessing. That would be the environment that they live in. As I said, this verse in Genesis 1:28, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it." That was the first declaration of the blessing. When God did that, he gave the title deed of earth to man. He says, "I'm creating you. I want you to walk in the blessing. Here's the world that I've created you for living, and it's yours. You have dominion over it. It belongs to you. You have authority in this place." You know how we would say it is, you know, what you say goes, or what I say goes. Like, we were given ultimate authority to rule and reign in the earth. God conferred that to mankind when he declared the blessing over mankind. And he doesn't take his word back. Okay? So when he says it, that's the way it is. Of course, something happened later on that we're going to get to. But it's important to understand that when God declared the blessing, he gave authority over the earth to mankind. He gave us dominion over the earth. We were given the title deed to earth. Psalm 8, 4-6 says, "What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet." There's no ambiguity in that at all, is there? The earth was ours. The Lord put everything under our feet. But there's something that we've got to see in this verse that's really interesting. That's a revelation that the Lord showed me this morning. And I was, I've been doing some digging in this last week. A book that I've had for a while, but I haven't really gotten into in its fullness because there's a lot there. But it's just called The Blessing by Brother Copeland. And so some of the revelation, some of the things that I'm sharing this morning, thank you, Brother Copeland, for pressing into the Spirit and the Lord revealing these things to him because he gets to share it with us and so we can receive. But this verse, in verse 5, Psalms 8, 5, it says, "You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor." So human beings were made a little lower than the angels in the sense that we don't have the strength and the abilities of the angel class, right? We, there's a physical expression to us, but we don't move around in the spirit realm the way the angels do, right? We have physical limitations in our bodies that has made us a little bit lower than angels. We were not made to have their strength or ability. But so, one way of looking at it is God took an inferior creature and gave him authority on the earth. Man was made below the level of angels, but yet was crowned with glory and honor that the angels didn't have. And in doing this, there's a key here. You know what happened when God did that? When God created mankind a little bit lower than the angels and then gave them glory and honor that I believe the angel class never had, that was the ultimate slap in the face to the devil. It was the ultimate insult to the devil. Why is that? Well, when God declared the blessing over Adam, and when God declared the blessing over the human race that would come through Adam and Eve, everything else in the universe heard it, right? All the angels that were ministering at that time heard it. All the hosts of heaven heard it. But who else heard it? The devil heard it. All those that were fallen with him heard it. And that expression, that declaration of giving the earth under our authority, putting the earth and everything under our feet, must have absolutely infuriated the devil, made him mad beyond any comprehension. Have you ever wondered why the devil hates mankind so much? Have you ever wondered why he spent thousands and thousands of years doing whatever he can to destroy people, first spiritually and then physically? Have you ever wondered why the forces of hell do everything in their power to disrupt creation and to bring hell on earth? It's because of that moment when God took someone who was below the level of angel and gave the authority and the glory and the honor that Satan so desperately wanted, and instead God freely gave it to mankind. Threw the devil out of hell, or out of heaven, said, "You can't have it." But then he created us and said, "Here it is." And he's been hating us for it for thousands of years. This is important. Important to understand this. So that crown of glory, that crown of authority, that crown of power that the devil had dreamed about wearing for himself, that highest honor that he was looking for, it was just given to this creation called man who was made even a little bit lower than the angels, but made in God's image. And because we're made in God's image, part of God's family. That was a humiliation that absolutely rang across creation. And the devil wasn't going to stand by and not do anything about it. He had to scheme. He had to think for a while. He's smart. He has no authority, but he's very smart. He is a schemer. And he saw an opening where he'd be able to do something about it. And that opening involves free choice. It involves our free will. And that was the enemy's opportunity. That was the plan that he put back together that thought, you know what? Maybe there is a way that I can get back at God for this ultimate humiliation, for giving this inferior race of people the thing that I wanted for myself. Maybe I can get back at him. We talked about this earlier, but when God created the human race, he wanted to create people that would freely choose to serve him, freely choose to love him. In a relationship, in a human relationship that's mutually fulfilling, that only comes when each person comes to that relationship is willing to lay down their preferences and their desires and just chooses to love the other person for who they are and whatever they represent, right? That is a mutually fulfilling relationship. Anything other than that is just simply slavery. If there's one person that is serving and loving out of obligation and they don't really want to be in that relationship, that's just, at the end of the day, it's really slavery. It might be emotional slavery. It could be actually physical slavery. But that's not what God was looking for when he designed you and I. He was looking for people who, out of their free will, would gladly choose to recognize God their Father and recognize that they wanted to be in a loving relationship with him. They wanted to give their love and their affection and the best of what they had back to their Heavenly Father because he had given them their best through the blessing. So that free will was the ability and the choice to live within the boundaries that God had set forth as a family under the blessing. But mankind had a choice. You can't have free will if there's no choice, right? If there's no choice, there's no free will. So we had an opportunity to walk in the blessing, live as God's family, continue to experience his goodness. But in order to have free will, there had to be a choice. What was that choice called in the Garden of Eden? We know it, right? It was the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. Did I say that right? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This tree was at the center of the garden. This tree symbolized the relationship and the connection between the human race, Adam and Eve, and God the Father who would walk with them. Actually, the triune God who would walk with them and spend time in the garden. And what did God say about this tree? He said, you have permission to experience every part of my goodness. The garden is yours. Creation is yours. But this tree is not for you. This tree is for me. Don't eat the fruit of this tree. Here's the verse in Genesis 2:16. But the Lord warned them, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of knowledge and good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. This tree had to exist, because if this tree didn't exist, there wouldn't have been free will. You guys understand that? So in order for there to be free will, there has to be a choice. And so God said to Adam and Eve, all the goodness that's around you is yours to enjoy. Take care of it, eat of it, enjoy its fruit. But this tree, this part of the garden, this is my part of the garden. You need to not eat the fruit of this particular tree. If we look at the Genesis story and you keep on reading, you actually find out later on that Eve said to the serpent that they weren't even supposed to touch the tree. But God never said that. Go back and put that verse up again, Nathan, that last one. God says, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. God didn't say, don't touch the tree. He said, don't eat the fruit of the tree. Adam and Eve were the caretakers of the garden. We know that. I believe that it was God's will for them to absolutely touch that tree. They were supposed to care for it and nurture it, just like they were supposed to care for and nurture all the trees in the garden. Maybe they would weed it. Maybe they would prune it. Maybe whatever that they needed to do. Theology thing there actually probably wasn't weeds at that time. But it may have needed to be pruned because it was growing. It was receiving increase, right? But I believe that for generations, God's will and desire was that Adam and Eve and their children would nurture that tree and care for it. But the fruit that came off that tree didn't belong to them, and they weren't supposed to partake of that fruit. That fruit was designed to go back to God. What is that called? It's called first fruits. Okay? So the fruit of the tree, wasn't they were not supposed to touch that fruit, is that they were supposed to harvest it and give it back to the Lord, because that part of the garden was his. And that part of the garden, that tree was in the center of the garden, and it represented, it was symbolic of the relationship and the connection that they had to God. Their care and stewardship of that tree would be an act of worship. Can you guys see that? We can't go too much farther with this today. But I want you guys to see that Adam and Eve, they had a choice. They had a choice to make. Do we honor the Lord? Do we obey the Lord? Do we continue to live in the blessing? The flip side of that, though, is they could choose to ignore what he said, to misbelieve what he said, to doubt what he said, and we know what happened. Their choice brought the curse into creation. We still have that same choice today. Do you guys know that? This principle of choosing between cursing and blessing still exists today. And just like for Adam and Eve, their choice to obey God, their choice about what to do with this tree, their choice about what to do with God's part, their choice was entirely around their blessing connector. That free choice that Adam and Eve had totally related to that part of the garden that was their connection to the blessing. And we're faced with that same choice. Some of you can probably see where this is going already. But the choice that Adam and Eve faced about what to do with God's part of the garden was their covenant connection to the blessing. And so what they did with God's part determined whether they continued to walk in the blessing. God didn't tell them what to do with their part. You notice that? He just said, it's yours. Enjoy. Eat its fruit. You have dominion. Do what you like with it. But my part is reserved for me. Don't eat the fruit of my part. And some of you can probably see where we're going with this. The principle of tithing didn't start with the law of Moses. The principle of tithing didn't start with Abraham and Melchizedek. Tithing started in the garden. The principle of first fruits started in the Garden of Eden. And throughout the entire history of the Bible, God's people have drawn near to Him and they have walked into the covenant of blessing by recognizing the principle of tithing, the principle of first fruits. The blessing is always connected to the tithe. They go hand in hand, the blessing and the tithe. The tithe is our covenant connector to the blessing. I believe this is why the tithe is so precious to God. You know why? Because He wants us to walk in blessing. He wants us to experience His goodness. The blessing was always His intention. It was always His plan. But we don't get it without having a free choice. He can't. He's not going to force His blessing on us. Just like, I think you guys know what I'm saying. He's given us a free will. And so He's not going to force His goodness upon people who have no option other than just to accept it, right? He's given us a choice, and He wants us to freely choose Him, to freely choose the blessing, because that's what family would do, right? Family wants to be with each other. Family recognizes and values the relationship that they have with each other. Family recognizes the connection and stays in that connection because of the love for each other. We're talking spiritual family here, amen? And the interesting thing is, the devil knows the lesson that Adam and Eve so painfully learned. The tithe is an act of faith that connects us to the blessing. The devil has understood this. Why do you think he attacks the tithe so much? Why do you think it is that in the body of Christ, I'm not talking about our church, but in the body of Christ, something like 10, 15, 20% of people actually tithe? 2%, whatever the number is. It's an astonishing amount of people that do not have a revelation on the fact that the tithe, which is 10%, the word tithe means 10%. It's not 8, it's not 12, it's not 15, it's not 5, it's 10%. The tithe is our covenant connector. The tithe is our connection to the blessing. It's the free choice that we have, the choice that we get to make if we desire to walk in the blessing. And why is it an act of faith? Because by choosing to give the tithe, we're saying, Lord, I choose to believe You, and I choose to believe Your word that the blessing has always been Your plan for me, and I choose to believe You that the tithe is my covenant connection, my blessing connection. That's why it's an act of faith. It's so precious to the Lord because I believe He so desperately wants to walk in fellowship with His people. He so desperately wants to bestow His blessing, His goodness on us. That was his original plan, because He made the earth and put everything in our dominion so that we could be just like Him, so that we could function with the glory and the honor and the power that He would refuse to give to Satan because it was rebellion, but He's willing to give to us if we make the choice to recognize His headship, His authority, recognize the blessing. It's there for the taking, but it involves a choice. It's really all we have time for today. I know we're just getting into it. I kind of said this is going to be foundational, right? We talked about the blessing. We haven't talked much about the curse. But I think that this is going to help you guys, that understanding about how did the curse come into creation, and some of the legal authority that we had as creation, and what we did with that legal authority and that legal dominion, what we did with that title deed. It's going to really help us understand how sin entered the world and what sin has done to our world and why the curse exists today and what we can do about it, how we can walk in the blessing. These are things that God has for us. The last verse I want to share with you guys. Remember I talked about how we always have a choice? Adam and Eve had a choice. The people of Israel had a choice. We have a choice right now. Deuteronomy 30:19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants might live. Let's stand. The Lord is saying, I desire to bless you. I want to give you the fullness. I want you to walk in the full measure of authority and power and blessing that I've always wanted for my people, that I've always wanted for my family. So please, choose life. Choose blessing. Don't choose cursing. Don't choose doubt and fear and unbelief. Don't yield to those things. It's, I desire to bless you. I want to do good to you. I want to raise you up. I want to have you be able to walk and live in the blessing, because that's always been my plan. But we have a choice. Free will always involves a choice. And the choice is our blessing connector. So it's not a message about tithing. But you can't talk about this, honestly, without talking about tithing, because it's just part of the story. It's right there, right? What I want to leave you guys with this morning, just encourage you with, is we all have a choice to make. And I hope God is laying some foundation, laying some spiritual track for you, that you begin to see how important the tithe is to God, how precious the tithe is to God. And the reason it's so precious, He desires to bless you, and He desires for you to walk in the fullness of glory and power that He always intended for His family to walk in. He wants to walk, and as that scripture in Isaiah that we read about, God desires to live and walk and just be in fellowship and communion with sons and daughters. He wants to be their father. And He wants us to be sons and daughters that freely recognize that relationship and just spend time in the garden of life in the fullness of blessing, living under His headship, His authority, recognizing the relationship He's put in place, but choosing, Lord, we give ourselves to You. We give You the best we have because of what You've done for us. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the powerful truths of Your Word, Lord. We thank You for the foundation that we've begun to lay today, Lord, how we have a choice to make, just as Adam and Eve had a choice, and every person who's lived since the dawn of creation has a choice. Do I want blessing, or do I want cursing? Do I want to function and live in the blessing, or will I choose to continue to let my life be limited by the curse, Lord? And so, Lord, we thank You, Lord, that You've started speaking to us today about the blessing and about the curse, Lord. And from this point on, Lord, we haven't talked about it much this morning, Lord, but we choose to recognize the curse in our lives. We choose to recognize the curse that operates in our world, because our world is under a curse, Lord. And we thank You, Lord, that there is the end of this story, Lord, is a story of victory and hope. Lord, we thank You that Your Word tells us the curse of sin is broken, Lord. So this isn't a discouraging story. This isn't a downer. This is a story of hope and a story of victory, because the curse has been broken, Lord. So would You continue to speak by Your Holy Spirit, and as we spend time as a church family, even in Your Word over this next week, Lord, we thank You that revelation comes and drops into our spirit, that You bring scriptures to our remembrance, that suddenly we see, oh, that's how that verse fits. That's how this teaching ties in, Lord. We thank You that revelation comes by Your Holy Spirit. We declare it over this church in the name of Jesus, Lord. We declare that we are a body of believers, Lord, that joyfully chooses to walk in the blessing. We make that choice in the spirit realm to walk in the blessing as an act of faith and to do what You ask us to do to activate the blessing in our lives. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you've given us a choice, that you've given us a free will, that we can freely choose to be your sons and daughters. Lord, we thank you that Jesus has made a way for all this to be possible. So we honor you, Jesus. We declare that we love you. We thank you for all you've done. Lord, may this week, Lord, be a week where we experience your favor and your goodness over our lives. We thank you for the testimonies that we've heard this morning of your goodness, how you're speaking to us, how you're causing good to come out of situations where the enemy intended harm. Lord, where you're guiding us, where you're protecting us, where you're healing us, where you're restoring us. We thank you, Lord, that these are just the first of many to come, Lord, that you have so much more in store for us that is good, that you desire so much blessing to be bestowed upon us, Lord, that we will be a light in this community, a light in this valley, a testimony of your goodness and your faithfulness. So may we experience this week as we go. We declare your blessing over this church body now as we dismiss. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.